1 John chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, now this here is the confidence. Say confidence. How many have some confidence in some things? Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. This is the confidence that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That if we ask, say ask. You know, the scripture says we have not because we what? Because we ask not. But the Bible says this is the confidence that we have. In other words, this is the assuredness that I have. This is what I rest on. This is what I find my peace in. This is what I hang my hope on. That if I come to Him and ask something in His name, according to His what? According to His will. The Bible says He hears us. I don't know about you, but that's incredible to know that the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of the universe, the one who spoke things into existence, He knows. He knows what you speak. He hears what you're praying for. He desires to move in your life. He desires to work in your life. Sometimes we look at things as if they're falling apart, and really the whole time they're just rearranging into place. Sometimes we look at things as if it were a bad thing when all along God's just rearranging it, because guess what? This is the confidence we have. He works all things together for our good. And so when you look at it and you think, oh God, what's happening? Oh God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh God, that's all speaking all kind of negative things. That's speaking failure. It's speaking defeat. It's not speaking faith. It's not speaking life. It's not speaking hope. He said, if you can believe, then all things are possible. This is the confidence that we have. Take a look at this, Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, how many have been through some waters? He said, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, it's your waters that you're going through. It's your difficult place. It's your tough situation. It's what you're going through. And these things are real in life. We face real things in this life. We go through hard places in this life. We go through challenging things in this life. But He said, when you go through it, I'll be with you. This is the confidence, Jason, that we have in Him, because if He said it, He is faithful to complete it. He who has called you, the Bible says, is faithful. And the reason we have such a hard time with that is because we live in a world where there's not a lot of faithfulness. We live in a society where there's not a lot of faithfulness. Our faithfulness is contingent upon whether or not you do what I like, or you say what I want you to say, or you give me what I want you to give me. If you make me feel good, if you do what I want you to do, then I'll be faithful. But if it don't work out the way I want it to work out, I'm not going to be faithful. He's faithful. He's so faithful. He's faithful to you when you ain't faithful to Him. He's a good, good Father. When you pass through your storm, when you go through your difficult place, when you go through that, He said, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, sometimes the waters turn into rivers. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you just think you're wading in it, you know, you're just in it and you're going to get out of it, but, you know, then all of a sudden, it hits you and knocks you down. None of you, though. None of you ever been hit and knocked down by the river. None of you ever got overwhelmed by something. See, He uses these illustrations because water can overwhelm us. Water can overtake us at times. How many of you ever been in the ocean and the waves just hitting you? How many have ever been whitewater rafting? Ever been whitewater rafting? I did it a couple of times. Man, oh day. It can be a scary thing. Because that water can be dangerous. But when you pass through those things, He said He'd be with you. And then listen, He said, they shall not. Somebody said, why do you get people to repeat things sometimes? Because it helps to sink it in. He said, they shall not. In other words, let me just say it like this. They won't. Though you go through the river, it will not overflow you. In other words, it won't consume you. It won't overwhelm you. What's the key to all that? because he is with us. When you walk through the, nobody likes this one. When you walk through the fire, see, he's already given us illustrations when we go through the waters. Remember when Moses took the Israelites through the waters? Remember when Joshua led the children of Israel through the river? How about the three Hebrew boys in the fire? He's given us the illustrations of these very stories that we're reading about tonight. When you go through the water, I'll be with you. Go ahead, walk right through it. Go ahead, walk through it. The key is, you ready? You're walking through it. You're not going to stay there. You're going to go through it. You're going to make it to the other side. Just like he said to his disciples, come on, guys, let's get in the boat. We're going to go to the other side. Then the storm comes up. They start taking in water. They're petrified. They're afraid. But not him. Why? Because he's Lord. He has control over the water. He has control over the waves. They can't overtake him because he's God. And the key that they missed was, he said, we're going to the other side. So, Melody, if he says we're going to the other side, guess where you're going? The other side. So between here and there, remember I preached that not long ago? Between here and there? Sometimes between here and there, it gets difficult. Sometimes between here and there, it gets scary. Sometimes between here and there, where's there? There is the victory. And sometimes between here, where we are now, and to the fulfillment of wherever it is he's going to take us, sometimes it can get a little scary. Because sometimes we have a habit of getting our eyes off of him, and we start thinking, well, we're going to get overtaken. Nope, he said you won't. But what if I am? But what if you don't? Aren't we funny at times? We look and say, but what if it happens? But he said it won't. But what if it does? But he said it won't. Well, it could. He said it won't. It's a matter of who are we believing? Who are we trusting? See, the enemy comes and the enemy says, no, you're not going to make this. The enemy says, you're not going to survive this. The enemy says, this thing's going to overtake you. The enemy says, you're going to be defeated. The enemy says, you're going to lose. The enemy's going to say, you're not worthy. The enemy's going to say, God don't love you. But his word says, I will be with you. I'll be with you. That's where I hang my hope. That's where I hang my confidence. That's where I put my trust. And he said, when you go through the fire, listen, you won't even be scorched. You won't even be scorched. The three Hebrew boys came out of that fire furnace, and the Bible says there was not even a smell or a stench of smoke on them. They weren't singed, nor did they even have the smell of smoke. Why? For I am, he said, listen, for I am. Moses said one day, who shall I tell Pharaoh sent me? He said, you just tell him I am. Now there's some authority. He said, you just tell him I am. You don't have to get into no big explanation. You just tell him I am. Do you know him as I am? He says, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Got a few more days left to sign up for November. What's happening in November? Israel. We're going to Israel in November. We got a tour of right now. Susan and I are hosting a tour of 23 as of right now. Really believing and hoping God for 25. That is the number I've been praying from day one when we decided we were going to take the tour. I'm praying for 25 people to go to the Holy Land with us. We got 23 right now signed up and committed to go. I've already put down payments on the trip. And so we're going to go and walk the streets of Israel. We're going to celebrate in Israel. It's the 70th anniversary of Israel being recognized. Israel has been for a long, long, long time, much longer than that. But it's first time since it became a nation in 1948 where it was recognized by the rest of the world as a nation. So 70 years, this is the anniversary. This is a very prophetic time within the body of Christ. This is a very prophetic time in the church. And this is an incredible opportunity that we have to be able to go there at this particular time and walk where Jesus walked. And so if you haven't signed up or you would like to, you till June 1st. We got till June 1st. And I think the price, what's the price? Right around $3,100, I think it is. Something like that. Plus the airfare or if you're going to drive to Newark. That's just a little commercial right in the middle. He's the Holy One of Israel. It just came to me. But we're going to go there, and we're gonna have a time in the Holy Land. I could just see us heading up into Jerusalem, declaring there is no one like our God. There's no one. We've been there before. It's life-changing. It'll transform your life. Verse 10 and 11, same chapter. You are my witnesses. I read something today that said 93%. How many of you would think 93% is a pretty high percentage? It's out of 100%. 93 is a pretty high percentage, wouldn't you think? 93% of the active church today, the regular attender in a church today, 93% never share their faith. 93% is what the statistics say. 93% don't share their faith. Doesn't say they don't have faith, they don't share their faith. They're not actively moving in their faith. They may believe, but they're not sharing with anybody. So that means 7% of the 7% of the active body of Christ are doing a lot of work themselves. 7%. We're called to be his witnesses. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, my servants whom I have chosen. How many of you know you are chosen? You are a chosen people. Called by name. The apple of his eye, the Bible says. He knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. He knew you. That you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Listen to what he says. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Every time I read verses like this, I just hear old-time Western music in the background. You know? I just picture God walking up. I don't know. My God's kind of like Italian. You know? I don't know. He's kind of like a... I could just picture God going, there ain't nobody before me, and there ain't nobody after me. You got a problem with that? You know, we know he ain't like that, obviously, but that's kind of in my mind. I picture God sometimes being like, yo, I'm God, you know? I'm God. And I know that's really weird, like a 55-year-old, short, overweight, bald guy saying, yo, yeah. We're called to be his witnesses. But the Lord said, there's none like me. There was none before me, and there'll be none after me. I am God. I am the Lord. I'm your Savior. That's big stuff, isn't it? As the body of Christ today, we've got to stop playing church. We've got to stop playing games. Pentecost Sunday doesn't come around once a year. Well, it only comes around once a year, but the meaning of Pentecost Sunday should be lived out every day in the life of every born-again, Spirit-filled Pentecostal believer. And if you are born again and you are Spirit-filled, I've got news for you. I don't care what banner is over your door, you are Pentecostal. That's what you are. And we should not be afraid of Pentecost. And I believe that there is a fresh, and we saw it Saturday night and Sunday morning, I believe that there is a fresh outpouring happening today in the world amongst God's children. He said, if you seek, you will. When will you find? If you do not seek, will you find? He said, if you knock, the door will be. So will the door open unless you knock? He said, when you search for me with your whole heart, you will find me. I believe to those who are searching for the Lord, for those who are looking to the Lord, he is pouring out his Spirit. He is doing mighty things. He is doing incredible things. But the church has to stop playing church. The church has to stop playing games. The church has to stop going through the motions because there are a lot of hurting and lost people in the world. And the majority of the time, all the church and most pastors, all we're doing is trying to convince people to keep loving the one who says, I am. We shouldn't have to be convincing the body that he is. We should have that settled. You know, the church should have that settled. And I thank God that here at Harvest, we've got a great group of believers here. I mean, you look around tonight, there's a lot of people missing. You know, you hard to find a seat some Sunday mornings. Look around on Wednesday night. But I want to tell you something. To those who seek, you'll find. Somebody said to me one time, why doesn't God speak to me? I said, well, do you ask him? How much time do you spend? Well, you know, and you get to the end of the conversation, you find out the person who isn't hearing from God very much, they're not really spending much time with God. You want to hear from God, spend some time with him. You can't expect to hear from him if you're not going to spend time with him. You got to spend some time with him. And he'll speak to you. He'll speak to your heart. We need to stop living in fear. We need to start living in doubt. We need to stop worrying. Because the Lord said, when you go through these things, I'll be with you. These things are not, put whatever it is, whatever your thing is, put it in there. You will not be overtaken by, you will not be overtaken by, whatever those things are, they will not overtake you. But the enemy of your soul, the one who comes but for to steal, John 10:10, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, the thief, he comes to try and, well, you've heard me say this before. The Bible says that the enemy comes as a roaring lion. Did you catch the key word there? As. You can act tough all you want, but if you ain't tough, He comes as, in other words, he isn't, but he acts like. You know why? Because he's an imitator. He's an imposter. He wants to be God. He's not God. He wants to be God. He's not God. So he tries to act like God. God is the lion in the tribe of Judah. So the liar, the thief, the murderer, he comes along and he tries to act like a lion. Because God is the lion in the tribe of Judah. But Satan isn't. He comes as. Scripture says he'll come as a flood. He'll come as a flood. He's not. But he'll hit you with things. He'll bring things about in your life. We got to stop. I said to my wife, we've been talking about this the last couple of days. The words that people speak. Man, I am careful of the words I speak sometimes. I try to be very conscious of the words I speak. Because if the creator of the universe created everything with words, come on. He said, in the tongue, how many got a tongue? How many use it? In the tongue is the power of life or death. Things that we can speak into, I know this may be too much for some of you, into existence. Because he is a creator. He creates, and he created by speaking. He said, let there be. And there it was. And his spirit, right? His spirit now takes up resident where? In this building? In us. He said, do you not know? Your body is the temple, right? Of the Holy Spirit. So if God, the Creator, Spirit dwells in us, then we should be creative. And what we speak comes into existence. We should be careful of the words we speak. The things we speak over our homes. The things that we speak over our families. Well, I'm dumb. Well, I'm nobody. I'll never amount to anything. I'm useless. I'm worthless. Nobody's ever going to help me. I'll never be blessed. God won't do that for me. We speak all these negative things into our life from the one who says, I will be with you. And Jesus said, listen, I go to the Father. When I go to the Father to make intercession for you, we're going to send the Comforter, the Parakletos. We talked about it Sunday. He's going to come, and he will be with you how long? Always. He said the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, will be with you always. You know, when Jesus walked with us in the flesh, you know, through the Scripture, when he walked in the flesh, then he was limited to time and space because he was in human flesh. And that's why he said, it's good for you that I go. Remember a number of years ago, I preached that long series, for those of you who were here before that, I preached a long series on the Holy Spirit. And I said, it messed me up one day when I read that. And Jesus said, it's good for you that I go. And I thought, how in the world would that be good for us? He said, because when I go to the Father, I'm going to sit at the right hand. I'm going to make intercession for you. We're going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and He's going to lead you into all truths. Because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at all times. Amen? The Spirit of God's everywhere. He can be everywhere. And Jesus said, it's better for you that I go to the Father. I'm going to make intercession for you, and then the Spirit of truth is going to come, and He's going to lead you into all truth. And here's the good thing about that. He takes you to the very thing that Jesus said will set you free. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Holy Spirit will lead you to truth, Jesus said. So the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit leads us to truth. Truth sets us free. No longer bound, no longer lost in darkness. He said, I'm the Lord. Who else can do that? You can't get that at Walmart. You can't get that on the internet. There is no one like our God. Here's the key, though. We've got to get that out of just being a song, and it needs to become a reality. What you think you know needs to become what you really know. What you think you know needs to become what you really know. What you think you know needs to become what you really know. Because when you really know it, then you don't get afraid when all these things happen. You don't walk in fear when all these things happen. We trust in the Lord with what? Let's be honest. Do we really at times trust in the Lord with all? Yeah, we do until we do until the mess comes. And then we go, ooh. No, he said, trust in the Lord with all your, we got to know that we know. Got to know that we know. We got to settle it in our spirits. We got to know that the one who has called us, George, is faithful. He is faithful. What he has said, will he not perform? That's what the word says. If he said it, will he not do it? That's unlike us. We fail at times. We all have good intentions. We all have good motives. We get up in the morning. We don't set out. At least I'd like to think none of us set out to do something purposely wrong or to hurt or harm someone. We wake up with good motives. We wake up with good intentions. And we tell somebody we're going to do something, and then we don't do it. And then disappointment comes in and hurt comes in and all of that. What God says, God will do. Why? Because the Old Testament says He's not a man. He's not a man that he would lie. You don't have to raise your hand to this, but how many in here has never told a lie ever? You don't just your face is all giving it away. The Bible says God is not a man that he would lie. God don't have to lie. He can't lie, as a matter of fact, because he's truth. So let me just tell you something about that. He just doesn't tell the truth. He is truth. So therefore, he can't tell a lie because there's no lie in him. He is. Are you with me? He is truth. He doesn't just love you. He is love. And so that's why we can trust him, because he just doesn't put it on. Oh, I love you, Danny. I love you. No, you dirty rat. You didn't come when I needed you. That ain't love. Right? Agape, unconditional, unconditional. What a powerful love it is. So he doesn't just give you peace. He is peace. And so if he's in you and you are in him, not as the world gives, he said, do I give you. If he is with you and you are with him, then you have peace, because he is peace. Joy unspeakable, he says. And full of glory. How many like a dose of that? Joy unspeakable and full. He just doesn't get slap happy over something that made him feel good. He is joy. We get happy if. We get happy because. We get happy if we receive. We're joyful if things work out the way we want them to work out. But isn't it more important, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because we've learned to lay down our life. We've learned to sacrifice our wants, our desires, our needs to fulfill what the kingdom wants, what the kingdom needs of us. We look to fulfill the work of the kingdom because the kingdom is very important. You believe that? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, we're going to start in verse number 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. How many of you have obtained like precious faith? With us by the righteousness of our God in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. As his divine power has given to us, you ready for this? His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. What did I say earlier? We got to know what we say we know. Because the knowledge of him, is that not in your Bible? The knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, having gotten away from, gotten out of the corruption that is in the world through lust. Remember, we talked for 4 weeks about why is it so hard sometimes? Why is it so hard sometimes walking this walk? Why is it so hard sometimes not to tell somebody off? Why is it so hard at times not to get bitter? I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. Why is it so hard at times to walk this walk? Paul said, it's because I know. I know the right thing. But I don't always do it. Have you ever been there? You know the right thing. That's what the Apostle Paul, I wrestle with this thing, he said. I know what I should do. But I don't always do it. What we see here is the Bible tells us that he gives us everything that we need, all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to life, and godliness. And it comes through the knowledge of him who has called us. We've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Now unto him who is able, the Bible says, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond what you could ask, think, even imagine. There's some people this week who have gotten things that they wrote down on a prayer request card and said, God, I'm believing for this. And boy, our faith was stirred this weekend, wasn't it? I mean, it wasn't quiet like it is in here tonight. I don't know, you must all took like some sleeping pills or something. I mean, this place was hopping. You were talking to me when I was teaching and preaching over the weekend. You were like excited. Now you've been, you know why? Because you've been through Monday. Then you had to go and face Tuesday. Good God, it's Wednesday. Saturday night, man, our faith was all high. We were jumping and shouting and worshiping God. Then Sunday came, praise God, and then Monday morning came. Well, if you had to go back to that old grind that I got to go to, you'd be miserable too. No, you're supposed to go there and let your light so shine before the world, and you are not to grow weary in doing well. That's what the Bible says. Don't go getting weary doing the right things. Why do I always have to do the right things? Because you're called unto good things. We are his workmanship, Ephesians says, created unto good works. Now, we know we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace, amen, through faith in Jesus Christ. We're not saved by our works, but we are created to do what? Good works. He created us to do good things. He's created us to be his conduit here on the earth. He's created us to be his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece, to reach out to those that need him. So we can't become weary in doing that. We can't become weary and when we share the word or we share the gospel or we share a testimony and somebody receives it. That's not our problem. See, we want to get offended. Oh, I tried to share with Jill, but Jill wouldn't hear, so I'm not going to share no more. Well, that's great. The enemy just loves that, you know. If that's all it takes to discourage us from sharing our faith. No, if I share my faith with Jill and Jill doesn't receive it, I just got to walk on. Pray God send somebody else her way. Send somebody else that can come and water what I said. Send somebody else to come nurture what I said to her. We get all of ours isn't get offended when somebody doesn't want to hear what we have to say. We just share what we got to say. God bless you. Love you. Move on. Plant seed. Just plant seed in their heart. And allow the Holy Spirit. I know that's not a popular phrase in a lot of places these days. Because the Holy Spirit wigs people out. You know, they're kind of good with God. The old mean Old Testament, you know, he'll strike you dead God. They kind of believe in that. That's how a lot of people see him. That's sad. A lot of people view God as a mean bully. You do what I want or I'll strike you with a stick. Jesus, he comes along. He's the loving one. He loves everybody. And then the Holy Spirit. He's like that crazy cousin that drives a Volkswagen bus, you know, with the peace signs on it. You don't know when he's going to come or show up, but he just kind of shows up sometimes. And you don't know what he's going to do. That's kind of how people view the Trinity. And that's sad. That's a sad statement because it's nothing like that at all. Holy Spirit is actually my best friend. He's my best friend in all the world. Jesus said, it's good for you. He's good for you. He's been good for me. The Father has been good to me. Jesus has been good to me. The Holy Spirit has been good for me because he leads me. He leads me. He directs me. Thank God for that, huh? How many are thankful for his leading and his directing? And so, see, through this life in Christ, he gives us everything that we have need of. And he's taken us out of the corruption of the world. And he's called us his own. And we're born again. And we're spirit-filled. And we're no longer like we once used to be. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. Boy, aren't these things that would be great in people's lives today? To self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now listen to what he says. Well, let me read that list to you again, and then let me tell you. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control. Do you got any of this stuff in your life? Self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. He said, for if these things are yours, and they abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, if these virtues are in us, if these things are in us, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. He said, then you will abound. and you will not be unfruitful. For he who lacks these things, those things I just read to you, for he who lacks these things, the Bible says is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Wow. Therefore, brethren, which he's speaking to believers, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will, God's word is truth, right? Absolute truth. God never lies, right? Listen to what he said. If you will keep these things, you will never, say never, stumble. He said, if these things are in you and you hold to these things, you will never stumble. God don't lie. You say, well, I stumble. Well, then you ain't. The problem ain't God. Somewhere along the line, we short-circuited with one or all of those. Well, I love people if they treat me right. What is happening there? I don't know. I'm putting off too much energy. I'm interfering with the... You guys are making me all mellow tonight, man. I really wanted to preach this with thunder. Y'all just sitting there like... You'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied. He said, I will supply an entrance abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that is enough to make a Baptist shout. It will pave a way. And I know some Baptists that really shout too. His word is true from the beginning. And remains true to today. His word is everlasting. Do you believe that? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's able. And let me say what I said at the beginning as we close. It's not about what he can do. It's about what you can believe. Let me say it like this. It's whether or not you will believe him at what he said. Jesus said, in this life you will have what? Troubles. You're going to have hard places. You're going to have difficult times. You're going to have challenging times. You're going to have moments you're going to wonder. But he said, I'll be with you. You dedicate your life to him. You're walking with him. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I will bring you through. That's a promise that he's given to us. That he will bring us through. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? That's the gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel is good news. It's, listen, yeah, you're going to have some hard things in life. That's just life. You know, things are going to break. Cars need fixed. Kids grow out of their clothes and shoes. Cost you a fortune. You know, they get sick. You got to go to the doctor's times to get something for a sore throat. In this life, stuff happens. But be of good cheer. He said, because I have overcome. That's where I'm hanging my hat. That's where my hope is. My hope is in the Lord. My trust is in him, the maker of heaven and earth. He's a good, good father, isn't he? Come back Sunday morning. We'll be working with a full team Sunday morning. Karen must have went downstairs. I appreciate her filling in tonight on keyboard. I know she doesn't. That's not necessarily her thing, but so faithful to fill in when Sherry couldn't be here. And so we'll be back at full team Sunday morning. We'll be back to most of the chairs being filled up Sunday morning. And then you all start talking at me when I preach. And you'll start saying amen. You won't be so tired. Because, you know, you get to Sunday and you realize you made it. You know, Sunday you realize, I made it. I made it. Then you get all geared up for Monday, and then you come back Wednesday. Then Sunday, you get all geared up again. Wednesday. Maybe we should move it to Tuesday. I'm so glad you're here tonight. I just want to encourage you to grab hold of God's word. Trust in what he says. If he said it, he will bring it to pass. Trust in that. Trust in that. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this moment and opportunity and time that you've given us to be here tonight. I thank you for each heart, each life, each home, each family that's represented here tonight. I pray, God, that you challenge us through your word tonight, and that each one of us will go out of this place feeling a little bit different than we came in. Lord, sometimes we say we know, but the truth of what we know is in how we act. And Lord, I pray that the knowledge of who you are in our lives will change the way we act. Because when we know exactly who you are, then fear has no place. Confusion has no place. Turmoil has no place. Because we trust in you with all of our heart. And we believe with everything that is within us, Lord, that you work things for our good. The difficult things, things we didn't anticipate, you work them all together. The good things, you work them all together for us. So, Lord, let us trust in that tonight, that you are God. You are who you say you are. There's absolutely nothing you cannot do. You are faithful. You are just. And tonight, we give you our praise. Be with us through the remainder of this week, Lord. I pray through your Holy Spirit, you'll lead us. You'll direct us. Father, I thank you that if you tarry, Lord, we'll be back here Sunday morning, gathering together as a group of people to proclaim and sing forth your praises and to hear what you have for us on Sunday morning. Look forward to that, Lord. I love you so much. I pray your blessing tonight. I pray your blessing tonight upon every home and family represented here tonight. Lord, I pray debt reduction for every home and family that's here tonight. Lord, as I lay my hands on those cards every day, I pray it again tonight for every home and family. Lord, I pray that you give them wisdom and ideas and ways of limiting certain things and cutting out certain things and applying certain monies to other areas to be able to get out of debt. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us understanding. As you brought the church out, bring every home and family represented in this church out of debt. Lord, heal, deliver, and set free every situation that was on those other cards, Lord. Every difficulty, every struggle, every sickness, every illness. Lord, by the power of your name tonight, we declare the word of God. Lord, I pray that you will heal, deliver, and set free. Chains of bondage will break. Addictions will be snapped in half. Lord, we thank you for that tonight. Let your blessing flow into our homes and into our families. We give you praise. We honor you. You're a good, good Father. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.